There are more than 2.5 million veterans of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, and the majority of them, 85%, receive honorable discharges when they left the service. But 300,000 have been forced out of the military on discharges considered less than honorable, and that means reduced benefits or no benefits at all. Iraq War veteran and Army Sergeant Christopher Goldsmith is one of them. He was written up in 2007 for missing his flight to Baghdad for his second deployment and forced out of the military with a less than honorable discharge. Why was Goldsmith not on that plane? It's because he was in the hospital after attempting suicide the very night before. Now Goldsmith has spent the past 8 years trying to get Congress to recognize that post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, was the cause of that hospitalization, and that he's not alone, that PTSD is often the source of the behavior that gets vets pushed out in the first place. Christopher Goldsmith joins me now in the studio. Christopher, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Tad.
What happened in your case specifically? I just gave the thumbnail.
So I deployed to Iraq in 2005 as a forward observer at the age of 19 with the 3rd Infantry Division. You know, I thought I was prepared for war. I wanted nothing more than to be in the military my entire life from the time that I was a little kid. However, my job ended up being basically the photo documentarian and intelligence collector of my platoon throughout daily patrols. And what those duties actually ended up being is photographing mass graves, taking pictures of dead Iraqi police that we may have had a relationship with, dead Iraqi children. It was something that I wasn't prepared to deal with. And even when I got home, PTSD was little more than just an acronym to me. I didn't understand what it meant. I didn't understand the way that it would haunt me for years and possibly for the rest of my life.
So you missed your flight. You're not allowed to do that. Bad behavior. You got discharged. But then when you went back to the Army to say, no, wait, I missed my flight because of a combat-related mental illness, they said what?
Yeah, so, well, the Army knew why I missed my flight. When I survived my suicide attempt, it was on Fort Stewart, Georgia. I was found by military police. My best friend and roommate at the time, Steve Atchison, you know, he's the one who saved my life, and he was there to witness, you know, my downfall. I struggled for a year and a half, getting almost no help at all from the Army when I was asking for it desperately. That suicide attempt was something that they saw coming, they could have prevented, and they took no actions. Even when I told an Army psychiatrist that I was thinking about suicide, she told me that I had three choices. I could either, one, I could suck it up, be a man, and I can deploy. I can, two, I can go AWOL and live like a convicted felon for the rest of my life. Or three, I could give up and commit suicide. I mean, those were the suggestions that an Army psychologist offered me when I told her how I was feeling after struggling for so long with nightmares from Iraq.
But Chris, we're told all the time now, maybe it's true now and wasn't true at the time that you experienced this horrible episode, that the Army has vastly improved, not only in its identification of PTSD, but that the culture has improved, that officers now appreciate it as an illness. It's not a question of a soldier not being a good soldier or not being a man or whatever, that those things have really started to change. Is that true? And it was just too late for you in your experience?
Yeah, the Army has changed. The Army has evolved, and I think the culture has improved greatly. PTSD in 2007 was little more than an acronym to myself and a lot of other soldiers. Today, there is mandated screening for anyone who's being separated for misconduct for PTSD and TBI. In 2007, that screening didn't exist. Now, the thing is that there have been laws passed that have intended to improve this situation, to stop sick soldiers from getting punished. But in 2009, the law that mandated that PTSD screening, the military has been complying with it, but not acting in the spirit of the law. NPR recently reported that 22,000 veterans since 2009 have been discharged after being positively screened for PTSD and TBI with misconduct discharges without benefits. I mean, I think it's damn near criminal that you could take a person, send them to war, they come home sick, and then you don't even provide them health care once they get home.
So if there's been an acknowledgement at the White House and in the military that discharge procedures were unfair, how can it not be retroactive? It seems like there's a major contradiction there.
See, there's a major problem. In about 2 Veterans Days ago, Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel issued a memorandum that would apply to the Boards of Corrections and Military Records for Vietnam vets who have other than honorable discharges. It would provide them liberal consideration in cases involving PTSD. However, Secretary Hagel's memorandum was too narrow. It doesn't affect my generation at all. So they're finally recognizing these Vietnam vets' PTSD. But today, the discharge review boards, they're still not recognizing PTSD the way that Secretary Hagel intended.
What's the resistance when you talk to a senator or a member of Congress? Is it money? If we pay benefits on too many of you guys, it just gets too expensive? What do they say?
I mean, the sad thing is that the DOD budget is planning for about 13% of our generation to be leaving without benefits. If these sick veterans, and I'm not saying all 13% have PTSD, but if these veterans are medically retired, that comes out of the DOD budget forever. So what the DOD is doing is, as it's downsizing the military, as we wind down from these wars, it's pushing everybody out that it can, because the VA budget is a separate animal, and that's not something that they need to consider.
So next steps, you're fighting against a budget and political juggernaut here. They've already accounted for not paying you guys. You've said that. How do you change that?
Well, we've got the Fairness for Veterans Act. Congressman Kaufman and Congressman Walz have taken the lead in the House. Senator Peters is pushing it in the Senate. I've been down on the Hill working with other veterans to try to get a commitment from every post 9/11 veteran who's been elected to Congress. And I mean, we could use all the help in the world. If listeners want to call up to their member of Congress, their senator, I mean, that'd be a tremendous help. And we're working to get every post 9/11 veteran in Congress signed up to be original co-sponsors of this bill, which should be introduced by the end of this week.
Christopher Goldsmith is one of probably tens of thousands of U.S. military personnel sent to war and then denied benefits at home because of the mental consequences of that war. He was a sergeant who served with the Army's 3rd Infantry Division from 2004 until 2007. Today, a student at Columbia University. Christopher Goldsmith, thanks a lot.
Thanks so much.